It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When the sweat hogs were cutting class, Mr. Carter longed for the Horshack laugh. Who did he turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Astute Speak Out listeners also know that when the disco world looked for a John Travolta body double, there was only one choice.
Yo, Paulie!
No. This world-renowned, white-suited John Travolta look-alike has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only... He's only mortal, folks. Paul Lavoie.
All right, welcome to Speak Out. It's Wednesday, March 27th, 2024. I'm Paul Lavoie, and finally we have two guys, two girls in the studio. Man, it's been like all estrogen week. John. Anyway, John Moss, welcome to the show. I'm talking to John. I should be talking to you first, the boss lady, right? All right, Dr. Becky.
Hello.
Is back. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
It's nice to see you, or half of you. I don't know. You have lost a lot of weight. I know the listeners can't see it, but you look great.
Well, thanks. Sometimes
you're welcome.
You have to focus on going to the gym, making sure you're healthy.
Oh, is that it?
That's it.
That's the part I missed. Anyway, it's Dr. Rebecca Stone, if you're keeping score. She's the superintendent of Lake Havasu Unified School District. John Moss is here as well.
Yeah.
My old, I don't know, were we coworkers? I guess we kind of were.
Yeah.
At the Boys and Girls Clubs.
Yep.
Right? And you are now Student Services Director at the Lake Havasu Unified School District. Wow. That's, for me, it's I'm still grasping that, by the way.
It's been a bit of time. But
from an LIT to that, right?
Yeah.
Leader in training. And Andrea Hellert's joining us today.
Hey, how are you?
You're back.
I am.
You're back. Andrea is President and CEO of the Lake Havasu Area Chamber of Commerce. And we're talking about Havasu Community Schools Coalition. And I thought I'd heard of that, but maybe I heard of something different. Explain what the coalition is.
So the coalition is really just a collaboration of a lot of the different community partners that are there to help support children, families, and schools within the community. There's just a lot of people out there doing really great work, and we wanted to provide a space, a collaborative space quarterly to make sure that everybody's coming together, that we're sharing what we're doing, and really helping assist each other in achieving our goals so that everybody else benefits.
Now, in all transparency, you came from the school district
Yes.
before you assumed
Proudly.
Your role now. right,
yeah.
right. As a communications director?
So I was principal at Jamaica for
Right.
a number of years
Right.
and a teacher before that, and then the last role was, yes, I was the... community outreach coordinator.
Community outreach coordinator.
Yeah.
You were the PIO, basically.
Right. And one of the things that she noticed is she gets all these people wanting to come in and donate and give certain things, backpacks, pencils, what, and also saying, what do you need? And realizing that many people were trying to do the same thing. So it was trying to help those groups in the community so they're not wasting time or money,
yeah.
and also the kids and the families in the district for what they actually need. So it was really Andrea's brainchild that she was the community outreach person
right.
and looking at all those things.
Yeah, so we really did want to make sure that the people who are working so hard to support our families
mm-hmm.
know exactly what they need, because sometimes there's assumptions, right? There's assumptions about what people need based on what they think they need. But we really wanted to make sure we were getting the right information out there, and that any of the efforts that they were putting in, that we could help support what they were trying to do.
John, how do you fit into all this? I noticed you and Andrea talking before the show about this coalition.
Yeah, so a lot of those things come through the Student Services Department, and we have that direct connection with nurses, counselors, teachers in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
So my department gets to play the role in supporting and identifying those needs and then connecting it through things like our Family Resource Center, the school counselors, principals, and those things. So we work very closely on identifying those, and she kind of brings the people to the table. We bring the need, and kids benefit, so it's a great thing.
So are we talking about underserved students then in the community?
It's
like we don't say underprivileged anymore. It's underserved.
It could be. So we've done a lot of work through the coalition to be able to support students that might be experiencing homelessness, going through foster care, receive free and reduced lunch, for example. But we've also done a lot of work through the coalition on identifying district-wide needs that all students would benefit from. A great example is we did a lot of work on identifying what needs to be in emergency kits in schools. Andrea connected us with folks in the community like Calvary that donated hundreds of emergency backpacks for schools, and then other folks donated flashlights, hand sanitizer supplies for those bags. So it's not only that specific high needs group, but it's the district in general and things that we can do to support them.
Yeah.
Is this like a corporate sponsorship opportunity then?
Well, so ironically, the Havasu Community Schools Coalition isn't really a nonprofit at this point. I don't know where we'll take it eventually, but that could be some of the future needs. But at this particular moment, it was just an opportunity, and it really began between a conversation between myself and Debbie Pennington at United Way, because she's the one who's working so directly with all of those nonprofits in the community on a day-to-day basis. And I was at the schools coming from the school perspective, just trying to figure out how to branch the two. And so I kind of pitched the idea to her, and I said, hey, what do you think about this? Like, do you think that the nonprofits and the organizations in the community would want this or need this? And she was like, absolutely. So this is a partnership also with the United Way. Currently, like, donations and things that we get, United Way is our partner to make sure that we are helping have a common communication. And I actually meet with her this week because our next meeting is April 8th. So it's coming up right around the corner.
So outside of the partner agencies and that, how can the community get involved in this? Because it is called the Havasu Community Schools Coalition.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is – we have a Facebook page, and we actually have a Facebook group. The people inside the Facebook group are the ones who are actually members of the coalition. Is it still on your website? So if people are interested in the in getting involved in the coalition, there is a page within the Lake Havasu Unified School District website that they can go to. There is a link that they can go to click on for to put their information in to register. And then that basically comes to me so that I can see their name on that list and make sure they get invites to the meetings. We don't post it publicly just because our space is hosted by Shagroos and there's only so much space in that room. So I have to know ahead of time how many people are going to be attending to make sure that they have the proper space. But we want as many people that are really organizations or people really involved and willing to get involved in the conversation. We people who attend the meetings or any Andrea Foote from Anderson comes at certain times because they're a partner within the community. Mile Markers, First Things First, the Clothes Closet, Havasu Health Foundation,
Behavioral Health. The county's normally there.
Yeah,
there's
so many people. From the region that actually come to make sure that we're all communicating the same thing. And then a lot of the events that take place around the communities, we also try to get the word out about as well. And so, and now that I'm at the chamber, part of my job at the chamber is making sure that our members also know what's going on.
Dr. Becky, is there a timeline on this? When did this all start?
So Andrea was the community outreach person last year. So it started right last year.
In August of last year.
Right in August when she started getting all the people coming in and saying we want to make donations. She was like, okay, this is making my head spin a little bit, because we do have a super generous community and they really do want to get involved and help out. And this was a way she's like, but what if we all met together and talked about what each person is providing or each organization is providing and how they can all do that together. Mm-hmm. So it started then, and then as they've progressed over time, you can hear it's kind of grown and more people have become involved,
right?
Which is just great for kids in the community as a whole.
Yeah, it is open. So there are other schools that attend the meetings as well. We started the conversation because we needed to make sure that the district parents and the district explained what it needed. But it really was a community-wide conversation because a lot of the different schools, nobody knew what they needed. So I feel like even Calvary with their Serve Our Schools projects, it really was helping get people involved as volunteers and things like that. So So as many people that are involved in the conversation are working to attend, but we are always open to having more people that are willing to support.
John, what are some of the specific needs right now?
Yeah, so we're always looking to an extent for those basic school supplies, but there's also a lot of focus right now on health office needs. AEDs is something we're working on together.
AEDs?
Yep.
Yeah.
Defibrillator
right.
type things. Yep. So we're working on those, and then emergency supplies are always important.
It sounds like you have a lot of cats to herd when it comes to herding cats.
Yeah.
Well, no, I remember when there was a, it was either school supply drive. I believe it was the big school supply drive. Everybody used to do their own, you know, for the K-12 Foundation. And it was like under their umbrella. But then they contacted your office and it must have seemed like, hey, I need to get all these people on the same page.
Yeah. So, and we worked on that. We created a list. The school district does have a list that they have for like required needs. And so we made sure that the people who were trying to have those, fundraisers or gather those supplies had the actual list of things that were required and potentially needed above and beyond what the district could provide. So so that was helpful because we were able to, like, narrow down the scope.
And there is a group called Support Our Schools.
Yes.
And they do still do a big drive for a week in the summer, I believe it is. Yep. And then they provide that to classrooms.
Yeah.
And it can it includes everything from our lists of supplies to maybe gift cards to Office Depot or Walmart, where teachers can pick up specific things if they needed them.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. How long is this is this something that's going to go on forever and ever, or we're just going to see what works?
So we're hoping to make sure that the efforts continue and make sure that we're doing the best we can to serve the community. At the next conversation, I am going to be – so typically at these meetings, there are agendas. we make sure that we introduce any of the new partners that are showing up so that everybody kind of knows everybody. Everybody's allowed to give updates on what they're working on, where they're at, and their focus. And if there are upcoming events, we typically collaborate to see – hey, do you need volunteers? Or, for example, the Literacy Council typically needs volunteers for tutoring.
Yes.
And so we're constantly trying to engage more people. And it's really about how to get the word out about what's needed. For the chamber and for the community, child care is a big issue. So that is going to be a topic at the next meeting because we need to be hearing from people around that particular community, that the organizations that we work with, about the kind of work that they're already doing in that space and whether or not we can work a little bit more closely together to help address those issues.
Mm-hmm. I don't know who's going to do it in this room, but it sounds like somebody needs to Google, how do I form a 501c3?
I feel like I know how to do that.
Oh, very good. Very good.
I feel like
very
that's
good.
The chamber.
That's the chamber.
Right. Well,
yeah. Although the United Way is currently our 501c3 that we're working with.
Okay,
yeah,
perfect.
That's the United Way. The United Way's partnership is providing that 501c3 umbrella the coalition.
Sure.
Whether or not we decide to move forward with something different in the future is possible. It's just not currently what we're doing.
So how do people find out more?
So they can always contact the chamber and ask for me. I'm the one to ask if they want more information, or contact the district office. The district office knows everything about the coalition, and we really are to work for the schools and the families in our community. So,
all right, perfect. Are you going to stick around?
Sure.
Okay, perfect. You're going to invite her to the party for the next 40 minutes.
Absolutely.
All right, perfect. Back with more in a moment. We've got Dr. Rebecca Stone. I call her Dr. Becky. A lot of people do, don't they?
face you.
Right, absolutely. She's the superintendent of the Lake Havasu Unified School District. Also, John Moss, Student Services Director. And Andrea Hellert, President and CEO of the Lake Havasu Area Chamber of Commerce. Back with more in a moment. I know you like country. You love country. No?
Sure. Yeah.
I thought you were the country
person. I love it all.
I'm not sure about John.
I'm good with country.
John's good with country? Okay, perfect. It's country day. We're going to go 90s country. That's the kind of country I like. All right.
Okay.
Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out.
Well, it's fogged up, the wind is in my old Chevy. I was willing, but she wasn't ready. So I settled for a burger and a grape snow cone. I dropped her off early, but I didn't go home. Down by the river on a Friday night, a pyramid of cans.
One of the all-time great 90s country songs right there. Dr. Becky is with us. Right, Becky?
Still here.
That's an old expression. A friend of John and Ryan, Tina, used to say that. Right, Becky? You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Yep, exactly. All right, John Moss is here as well from the Lake Havasu Unified School District. And Andrea Hellert, of course, representing our Lake Havasu Area Chamber of Commerce. Not just representing the... How are you liking it so far, by the
way?
Loving
it.
I
get to serve in a whole new way.
Oh, perfect. All right. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford by Patio Paradise. You're laughing, Dr. Becky.
Yes.
Because you love those guys?
I do, but you are also very energetic when you love someone.
I'm trying to be. I learned a long time ago on radio or television, you have to put out 150% to get 100 back. So, yeah, if you put out 100%, it's not enough. That's all I'm saying.
I would not disagree with you.
By Just Meats, all the cuts all the time, a locally owned and operated butcher shop in Lake Havasu City. By Salmon's Air Conditioning, serving the tri-state area for over 53 years. Ask about Salmon's superior maintenance plan. And our newest sponsor, Blonzy's Steakhouse, 4501 London Bridge Road in Desert Hills, where steaks are just the beginning. They also feature the Prius, an all-veggie sandwich. Tell you what, I posted, sometimes I do food posts. I posted Saturday's breakfast at Blonzy's, which is Northwest Loco Moco. I don't know if you've ever had Loco Moco. It's a Hawaiian dish with rice, hamburger patty, egg, and gravy on top of everything. It's really, really, really good. But this is with hash browns on the bottom.
Oh.
It's fantastic. It's one of the best breakfasts I've ever had there, so. Anyway, welcome back to the show, and you know, while we're talking about community stuff, I just got this from Christine Watson over at the Clothes Closet, and on Saturday, September 6th at 8 a.m., they say till 11 a.m., but I know Christine. She'll stay till 2 if you need her to. I'm going to get in trouble for that. They're offering
yes, you are.
Free clothes, hot meal, haircuts, job listings, care packages to go of snack foods and hygiene products. And that's at 1968 Mesquite Avenue here in Lake Havasu City. And it's made possible, of course, by Anderson Toyota. There you go. And the Clothes Closet. You want more information, give her a call, 928-230-3113, and that's right out of my cell phone today. So there you go. All right, John, we talked off the air during the break, and registration's coming up.
It is.
And that's for the next school year, or is it for summer school or both?
It's for next school year we're really focusing on and making sure those kids have an opportunity to get in. We can plan, prepare, and make sure they start off the school year strong.
And what do parents need to know? Especially the parents of new students that may be entering kindergarten.
I think the most important thing for them to know is that we're here to help them get enrolled. So they can enroll online, which is the simplest way, or they can contact any of our school offices. Come on in, we'll help them there. But we're really excited to get them in, and we want to help make sure the process is as smooth as possible.
What do parents need to bring to make that process as smooth as possible?
So they'll need a birth certificate, proof of residence, and immunization records. I think that's all. And then we can help them collect anything else that's necessary.
How much can be done online?
99% of it.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can do all of it online, and you can upload your documents if you are tech savvy. Mm-hmm. So it's the easiest way to do
that. You don't even really have to be tech savvy anymore to do most of the stuff now. And a lot of it can be done from your phone. And it's a lot of, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but, you know.
No, I agree. It's unless
you're a parent over a certain age, right? Like way up there, or a grandparent, then yeah, maybe you would need some assistance. But a lot of people like to go in and get that face-to-face contact too. In the office. So
absolutely.
What are the hours? When can people do that? And where do they go? Do they go to the district office or the school that they're going to register their child in?
So online, of course, is open at any time. If they'd like to go to a school, they can pick which school they'd like to go to register. 7:30 to 3:30 offices are open. If they need to come a little later, they can always contact the school and see if they can make an exception if someone could be there.
Okay.
But offices are normally open 7:30 to 3:30. Come on in. We'd love to have you.
Immunizations, is that a big deal? Now, you know, people are always talking about immunizations and shot records and this and that. Is that mandatory?
Mm-hmm.
It is mandatory.
So there's a mandatory list from the state, and those have to be provided to the school to enroll. And it's your typical measles, mumps, rubella, those kinds of things. Probably Andrea could tell you exactly what you need, as she has students.
I do have an 11-year-old who needs their shots, yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Needs the booster?
Yeah, and typically, you know what's great is the Havasu Community Health Foundation. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to make sure I'm not mixing up my acronyms here.
No, I got you.
So they actually have a health fair that comes up every single July, usually.
Yes.
It's usually the last week in July, if I remember correctly. I don't want to misstate. But they actually do immunizations there. And that's really, really, really helpful for a lot of our family members because they're able to get their immunizations right on site. They do help, you know, teeth checks. They do a lot of different things at that particular health fair. The coalition actually does help support to get the word out about that kind of thing. So hopefully that's what helps parents. I know sometimes it's hard to schedule time. You can go to the mm-hmm. county offices and things like that.
Right.
County health department.
What about online education for the district? Is that something that's an option as well?
It is. We have what's called Havasu Online, and it's a fantastic program. Middle school, high school kids can enroll in that. Mm-hmm. Registration is the same way. They can enroll online, get connected with that. We have a dean who oversees the program. And it's fantastic. We see kids have a lot of success. It graduates a lot of kids in our district.
All right. Perfect. Let's go ahead and, you know, I have a song queued up, but I don't want to play it. So, no. It was on, like, auto. And it's a particular artist that I don't care for, but everybody seems to love. So, anyway,
okay.
I'm going to play some Dwight Yoakam because I like Dwight Yoakam. And I play the song. So. Back with more in a moment with Dr. Rebecca Stone and John Moss from the Lake Havasu Unified School District with Andrea Hellert from the Lake Havasu Area Chamber of Commerce. And I don't know how many hats you're wearing today, but there's
couple.
A lot up there.
Couple.
Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. Welcome back to Speak Out. And Speak Out brought to you in part by The Chair, Havasu Style Dining and Live Entertainment in a flip-flop atmosphere. A fantastic view of the London Bridge. Stroll on over to The Chair. Also by Springberg Wealth Management. And we'll see Brian Springberg on the show tomorrow, scheduled for an entire hour. Also by Mojave Community College, SunPower by Esme Electric, SamsGuns.com, and by Dorita's Place, providing Havasu with all-natural dog and cat food, along with pet toys, since 2006. And welcome back to the show. We have Dr. Rebecca Stone here from the Lake Havasu Unified School District. She's the superintendent, right?
That's
I know how to spell principal.
Correct.
I know how to spell principal because she's your pal, right? But superintendent's kind of tricky, so.
You can do it.
Not for me. I'm a really good speller. I'm just saying there's no set rule like the principal is your pal.
No
right?
rules.
John's laughing over here like, Paul, you're being random. John Moss is here as well. He is the Student Services Director and Andrea Hellert, President and CEO of the Lake Havasu Area Chamber of Commerce, who was a former school district, a long-time school district employee. So I want to talk about that Family Resource Center. You talked about that coming in. And tell me about that. What is that?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things, as we've worked with the coalition community groups, that we've seen a need for, not that things like this don't exist in our community, but one focused a little differently on kids and families, is a family resource center. So we worked with the community department of ed to be able to fund and start a resource center out of the district office, which is a place that families can come into to have access to community resources, get connected with them, have access to a computer, talk with district staff. And we've started inviting groups to come in, so Arizona Youth Partnership, Mile Markers, different groups like that have offered to come in and host parenting activities, classes, or just be available for folks to come in and talk to them. So we're trying to open up our doors, bring families in that might need some extra support. And with that, we have a supply area with things that have been donated for families, backpacks, pencils, paper, calculators that have come from community groups that are located there too.
Now, I know supplies sound like a big issue, and of course there's a need for that, but what about education itself, like tutoring? Does that fall into this as well?
So we don't have tutoring at the Family Resource Center. We have access to computers, and if you're a student, let's say at Havasu Online, and you need some extra help or an adult to be there with you, you're more than welcome to come in and use our computers as well. But for students in our district, all of our schools offer tutoring, tutoring clubs, homework clubs, things like that after school. So it's certainly available within our district, not necessarily through the Family Resource Center.
Dr. Becky, there's student tutoring as well, correct? Where the students, older students will tutor younger students? I know. Easy for me to say. I just washed my tongue. I can't do a thing with it. Yeah, I got you.
There is some of that that goes on, and it's really working with those student tutors to make sure they have all the information they need and are working well with the younger students they tutor. Mm-hmm. I think there might be some peer-to-peer at the high school. I actually think it would be a great idea, but I never want to put too many ideas out there. If we were working with our high school students to tutor our elementary students or even middle school students.
I thought they already did.
Like
there's a state program for that, correct?
Not a state program that I'm aware of.
I thought the state superintendent, they opened up a funnel of money to pay students or teachers to tutor in their off time.
They sort of opened up a funnel of money. There's a lot of strings attached to that.
Uh-huh.
So the struggle is getting people to do it. And some of the strings, not that I don't understand them, but it's if you go through the tutoring sessions and not enough students show up, you will not get the funding.
Oh.
So that's also a concern because you have families who have other obligations and they can't always bring their kids to tutoring. So they may sign up, but they may not hit every session. And when they don't, that pot of money does not come through to pay the people who are tutoring.
So, John, our friend, our mutual friend Lance Ross in Bullhead City, he's with the Bullhead. It's called the Bullhead City School District. It used to be the elementary school district. Now it's different. So anyway, he talks a lot about the homeless population in Bullhead City. Not that it's significant, but there are a large number. I know it's around 200 of homeless students in that district or in the high school district or both. Is that a problem here in Lake Havasu City?
I wouldn't say it's necessarily a problem, but it's something we've become more aware of over the last year and a half. So when I was a principal prior to me coming into this role, our district did provide services to students under what's called McKinney-Vento, which is the program for homeless students and those needing extra support. But we didn't necessarily do an over-the-top fantastic job at identifying them. So over the last year and a half, we've provided a lot of focus on improving our district in that area, which is something we try to do as a district and identify ways we can grow. So we've been doing a lot of work there with school sites, counselors, principals, teachers. And I think our district has about 45 to 50 students identified right now, K-12.
Right. And homeless doesn't necessarily mean living on the street, does it?
Correct. There's a few different ways a student could be meet the definition of homeless. Uh-huh. It could be living out of a car, living on a street. Their primary residence could be a hotel, motel. But it could also be they're displaced from their primary home and they're doubled up with family or friends. They're not in their own primary residence. And when that happens and we become aware of it as a district,
sure,
we step in, we provide, make sure they're getting free lunch in the cafeteria. We can provide school shirts, backpacks, supplies. Whatever barrier exists between them and being successful in their educational environment, we work to remove with them.
What's the first line in that identification process? Would it be teachers, students, staff, all of the above? How does that work?
All of the above. Every person in our district is charged with working to identify and support these kids, and everyone receives training every single year on how to do that. And we know in schools it could be the teacher has the best relationship, it could be the bus driver, could be someone in the cafeteria, it could be the principal. We all have different relationships with kids, and whoever can identify that need is responsible for doing so.
And how do you go out? And you were saying you've stepped up the efforts here in the past year. How so?
So we've provided training a little more intentionally to school staff. We've reached out and provided additional supports, but we've also worked closely with the counselors at each school to make sure they know what resources are available and how to start to see the signs that a student may be experiencing homelessness.
Right. Dr. Becky, I would imagine that school lunches and school meals have a lot to do there. That has a lot to do with helping those students as well.
Absolutely. So food security is an issue. It is something that, you know, during COVID, free and reduced lunch and breakfast were provided to every student no matter what. I would love for us to go back to that. I don't think
I thought it
to.
Was still in play.
It is not.
No.
It ended last year, I believe.
Yeah.
So last year and this year, it's gone back to what it traditionally was. I would love for them to make that change at a national level. I don't think that's happening. But at a state level, some states have taken that on.
Which actually makes sense.
Right?
It is a localized issue.
I would love that access was provided to every single child, no matter what. But appreciate the fact that we are stepping up our efforts to ensure if kids are experiencing homelessness, they automatically qualify for that. So we make sure we can find as many kids as we can.
Are we doing okay with affordable housing when it comes to recruiting new teachers and staff for the district?
So when we, during COVID, this was very difficult, and we did actually have people turn down positions because they could not afford to live here.
Oh, I believe that.
What I will say is in the past, last year and this year, we have been able to provide either enough contacts in the community, or people have talked with other teachers in the district, and we have been able to place everyone so far.
Yeah, Lindsay Bitterman was on the show, and she was talking about there's also incentives for teachers. Can you talk about that as well for people that might have missed that show?
Incentives to move here?
No, incentives to make above what their base salary. They have other incentives that they can actually attain to.
Sure. So there's 301 funding, and that is the school. The teachers as a whole vote on what their goals are going to be, and meeting those goals provides them with the $301. For the past 2 years, that's been around $13,000.
Oh, wow.
So it is a significant amount of money.
Yeah.
Other things, certainly we have stipends if they're doing tutoring after school or other events.
Coaching,
mm-hmm. All of those kinds of things also provide additional.
That's what I'm surprised you're not doing. Are you coaching yet?
I'm not coaching out
here. You wish you were, though, don't you?
There's a lot of times I'm up at the high school or Thunderbolt, and I miss that experience and building those bonds with kids. But
he'll be coaching soon. He has young children.
And I'm just saying you're really good with the younger grade level.
That's true. And I am coaching T-ball this year for my daughter. So.
Oh, you are?
Yep.
All right.
But not at the high school, middle school level.
Right. So we talked about registration for the upcoming school year. It's going to be here before you know it. And graduation is going to be here soon, too.
Yes.
But you were telling me about kindergarten boot camp.
Yeah, so kindergarten enrollment was open. We had a good turnout for the – they have an evening at each of the schools. You can go in. You see what they're like. But enrollment continues to be open. But kids who come – who are enrolled, they take like a – kind of a pretest. Where are your skills? What does that look like? And we do offer a kindergarten boot camp. It is during summer school. And the purpose of kindergarten boot camp is often if your kids have never gone to preschool or anything that's like a structured daily activity, this is a place where they can learn what are their routines, what does my classroom look like, how do I navigate the building, and then also your, you know, your basic skills, letters, numbers.
What do I eat? What do I don't eat?
Right? Those kinds of things.
Writing your name, yeah.
Writing your name. So we love to have people, if they can get through enrollment sooner rather than later, it helps us determine how many kids we can serve in that kindergarten boot camp.
All right. Did we miss anything, John?
I do have something else exciting I'd like to share that's related to kindergarten boot camp.
Oh, great,
and that
great.
Early childhood experience. And that's preschools in our district. So we've had two very long-standing preschools in our district at Smoke Tree Elementary with the developmental preschool, and then Lake Havasu High School has Little Knights, which is kind of like a CTE, career and technical education lab. Mm-hmm. And as we've seen a need grow in our community and really having two fantastic programs, we've got together and said, hey, we can make this bigger. So at the start of this school year, we opened a third preschool at Oro Grande Classical Academy, filled it up super quick, had a fantastic year, did a ribbon cutting with the chamber there. Mm-hmm. And as we've watched that program grow and become very, very strong, we got back together and said, there's still a need. Let's do this again. So next year, we're opening a fourth preschool program at Nautilus Elementary on that side of town, just to really build those connections with families, get the kids in early, provide a great service to our community, and we're very excited, very proud of that.
Yeah, I don't know if you know Rob Fram from WACOG. He comes up from Yuma twice every 2 months to be on the program, sits in, does a great job, by the way. Are you working with WACOG on that preschool program?
So not necessarily on growing ours, but we do have a great partnership with WACOG.
Right.
They have one hosted at one of our school sites. They do fantastic work as well. We want to be able to expand in any way we can, whether it's supporting WACOG or opening our own. So we're not trying to compete with them in any way. Mm-hmm. We're just trying to reach that same goal, similar to the coalition. Mm-hmm. We're all working towards supporting kids, and this is a way we can contribute.
Well, they're always looking for preschool teachers, so I was curious as to whether that was within the partnership with the district.
So we haven't necessarily partnered with them on finding preschool teachers. Mm-hmm. We've been successful in finding ours, but I think there's some different structures we have that they don't.
Oh, interesting. I didn't realize there was that much need for preschool.
Oh, Lord.
Mm-hmm. I've been out of the parenting game for a long time, folks.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
What absolutely. You hear about is lots of families who are on waiting lists.
Because
there are not enough preschools here, and preschool is extremely important as kids build those skills to get into kindergarten.
How much do you need to know now before you are actually in kindergarten? Is it, are we talking about basic math skills by first grade, second grade?
No, but kids who don't get the exposure to learning the, like, alphabet, letter sounds, don't get exposure to colors, don't get exposure. It takes them longer to be able to learn the things that they're introduced to in kindergarten. And so they don't, some of them who don't have any exposure to education before kindergarten just take longer to, cognitively access those skills. And so, you know, preschool is really very important. And a lot of the families, you know, not just in Arizona, not just in Lake Havasu, mm-hmm. a lot of families just really do have a hard time finding access to preschools. Some of them have a difficult time finding the meeting the cost of tuition at different preschools. But it's extremely important. It's a major issue for the chamber as well. We've our legislative agenda actually is pushing for full day funding for kindergarten and preschool, because at this point the state does not fund full day kindergarten.
Oh, really?
No,
I didn't realize that. I thought that bill was passed.
No.
Oh, that's interesting. Is that something you're pushing our local legislators mm-hmm. on?
Yes, absolutely.
Since they have leadership positions in the House
they do.
And Senate?
They're the ones who have the voice at the moment.
Yeah,
so,
they do.
Yeah.
Look at the highway we're driving on now.
Right? It's beautiful.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Full-day kindergarten and preschool would be amazing.
Well, that's great. That's great. You know, I just feel like when I was that age, I know it's hard to believe, that long ago. No, I was watching the news and then going to school, like mm-hmm. network news. So, yeah, go figure my career path, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you got graduation coming up.
We do.
I know. And I won't see you until after graduation. So how exciting is that, that you actually had an uninterrupted school year, you know, uninterrupted by any pandemics or any other unforeseen events?
Yeah, we hope to never have that again.
But you don't have the valedictorian and salutatorian anymore, do you?
We do have that.
I do
not know why that is a recent question for me from multiple people. Yes, we absolutely do, and the valedictorian does give a speech.
I thought that had changed.
No.
The chords, the differences.
We added.
Yeah.
Added.
The summa cum laude, magna cum laude recognition.
So it was added, it wasn't replaced.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. How many students do you expect to give diplomas to this year?
Right around 400.
400?
Mm-hmm.
Respectable. Nice. And how much of that, how many of those would you say percentage-wise are probably going on to college education?
Great question.
Do we ever know that?
We know the number. We definitely know the number who are attending Arizona universities. And then you can get information as you contact kids later to see where they actually went. We have two pieces of data. The first piece of data is the kids telling us what they plan to do.
Right.
And then as you follow up in the year after, whoever you can get a hold of, you get an idea. Probably somewhere between 100, 125 kids
right.
choose to go to college. We have kids that are going into the military. And we have kids who are going into either the workforce or like a skills-based trades program.
Right, right, right. And now you have the CTE program mm-hmm. With the fire department.
Yes,
which
it's amazing.
We had the first graduate
yes,
here of that program on the show.
Yeah,
with
that's
Chief Pete.
Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. When did you come in? When did you replace Diana Sire?
The week that we shut down for COVID, March
really?
2020.
Isn't that funny? Because that's about the exact week time frame I was moving back to Havasu.
Oh my goodness.
That's crazy.
It was crazy.
So you had a certain set of goals back in those, you know, at that time, and it's been 4 years now. Hard to believe.
Yes.
I know, hard for me to believe. I've been back in Havasu, back in at Radio Central full-time 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
As far as your goals, have you met those, and what still needs to be met, and what more would you like to do in the future? Is that a whole other show?
That could be a whole show.
I can see. We got about 3 minutes.
I'm extremely proud of the things the district has accomplished.
Uh-huh.
One of the things, as you know, is core knowledge was a curriculum that was adopted at our classical academy. We were able to expand that to all of our elementary schools and our middle school. It is a curriculum that's used by Hillsdale College or the Hillsdale program and well received by the community, well received by our schools.
Absolutely.
Kids are doing a good job with that. I'm very proud of that accomplishment. I'm the person, though, that's always looking for what's the next place to improve, what else can we do?
That, and if you're like me, it's how do I make it better?
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, that was good, but what's the next thing?
Right.
I always think there's room for improvement in student achievement, room for improvement in making sure that all of our students are graduating with a path to do something productive mm-hmm. in society, whatever that is that they choose.
Even if it changes two or three times like me?
Well, and they say that is now the norm.
Yeah,
four, five, six times.
I mean, you can know what you want to do when you're 18, but is that going to be the same thing you want to do when you're 35?
Right.
Yeah.
And the key is you're going to have to do it for a long time, so it needs to
yes.
be something that you really enjoy doing.
I thought radio sounded fun, so.
Apparently it was a lot of fun for you.
I've been in and out, plus television, so yeah absolutely.
So.
But no, so you're happy in this community, obviously.
I'm very happy in this community. It's so supportive, and I'm just excited about what we can continue to achieve for
right.
our kids.
John, are you still commuting back and forth?
I am. And, and
oh,
that,
boy.
But I think that speaks to the district and this community that, you know, I'm happy to spend 10 hours a week in my car to get here and work with the people in this district and this community. It's a great place.
And how's Kim doing, your wife?
She's fantastic.
Oh, awesome. Still teaching?
She's teaching. She's going to take next school year off. I haven't seen you. This is, I don't know if I should.
Here's the announcement.
Uh-oh.
Kim is, we're expecting a baby next year.
Again?
Which is exciting.
Yay.
This will be our first natural one, so we've adopted
our
other
two.
Oh,
okay. I knew you had kids, yeah. So yeah.
So she'll be home next school year, which is exciting for us, but.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah.
That's
you.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's exciting news.
It is exciting news. Right on. All right. Do you know boy or girl yet?
It's a little girl.
It's a little girl.
Excited, yep.
Nice. All right. He's going to make a great deal. You already do make a great dad, yeah. I'm sure. You're a T-ball coach.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. We're going to take another break, our last break of the hour, and we'll say goodbye to Dr. Rebecca Stone for the time being.
Yes.
You better
be
come back
again.
And see us.
Absolutely.
All right. And John Moss, Student Services Director for the Lake Havasu Unified School District. Mm-hmm. And we already had to say goodbye to Andrea Heller. She just kind of, I'm like, where are you going? Anyway, yeah, she disappeared. She found the secret door that Steve uses. Anyway, Andrea, of course, President and CEO of the Lake Havasu Area Chamber of Commerce. And thanks for being here.
Absolutely. We're happy to be here.
All right. I'll be back with a final shot in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. All right, welcome back to Speak Out. I'm going to go a cappella because there's not a whole lot of time, as Marissa June just reminded me. On tomorrow's show, we mentioned this earlier, Sound Advice with Brian Springberg. Of course, it's going to be the entire hour with Brian Springberg. Brian's going to take a few days off next month, but not tomorrow. He will be here. And then we'll have a special Good Friday show with Pastor Kay Zimmerman and Tim Giles. All right, Hannity's next.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.